Isn't it good to be back in church, honestly? Doesn't that feel good? It just feels good. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, when we weren't having Sunday church, my equilibrium was completely off in life. And it's like, I never knew what day it was. Did anybody else struggle with that? Sunday was like my compass. And so I'm talking to a guy on the phone one day, just some guy about a business thing that is personal. It had nothing to do with the church. And he lived in another state, as a matter of fact. And so I'm talking to him. I'm like, yeah. I said, I don't know if you'd answer the phone or not with it heading into the weekend and being Friday and all. He goes, Dan, it's Monday. So I was like several days off. But I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is Monday. But yeah, it just didn't feel right without church. And so it's good. How many of you are back? This is your first Sunday back. How many of you first Sunday? Oh, my goodness. That's a lot. Wow. How many of you... It's not your first Sunday back. All the other hands ought to go up. Okay, good. It's exciting. You know, I want us to, before we get into the message this morning, I want us to pray together. And you know, as we pray, I want us to think about, you know, as we think about all the events that have transpired in 2020 and are still happening right now, as we watch the news, you know, we just need to be reminded that through all of this, our mission as a church has not changed. Our mission is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then our mission is to love people, all people. Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. And here's the deal, because we love God and because we love people, well, then our passion as a church is to get the gospel of Christ out to our community and to our world. And it's the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ that changes hearts and that transforms lives. I know I speak as one who has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about you? Amen? Have you been changed by the gospel? And, you know, I was thinking back. I believed that the gospel was the answer for people in 1994 when I became the pastor of this church. And I said, you know, we're going to be a gospel-proclaiming church. That's going to be the core of what we do. We are going to be all about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believed that in 1994. Then in 7 years later, in 2001, when the Twin Towers fell, I still believed that the gospel of Christ was the answer for people. And last year, fast forward 2019, I believed that the gospel was the answer for people's lives. And now in 2020, here we are about, you know, halfway through the year, I still believe the gospel is the answer for people's lives. And that's what we're about. And our prayer really needs to be that whatever is happening in our community, whatever's happening in our nation, whatever's happening in our world, that we as Crossroads will continue to forge ahead with our mission of getting the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ out and being a light for Jesus Christ. God told us this in Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Here's what God told us. Listen very closely. He said, be blameless. He told the church, be blameless, be harmless. The sons of God, without fault, and shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And folks, listen. That's what we have to continue to do. And so I want you to pray with me that we as the church can continue to be the light, showing the love of Christ. You know, we're known in the community. I hear it all the time. You probably do too. When you tell them you go to Crossroads, oh, I know that church. That's a great church. That church really loves the community. I know they're so involved in the community, and we want to continue to have that testimony. And as we all leave here today and we go our separate ways, may we take the love of Christ with us, and may we take the gospel of Jesus Christ with us, because that's what it's all about. Listen, it's the gospel that changes people's hearts and lives. Amen, church. And so would you pray with me right now? Lord, we come before you, and as we prepare our hearts before we bring the message here, Lord, help us to not lose sight of our mission. Lord, and our mission is to share the good news of Christ, to proclaim that good news, and just let the gospel do what it does, and that is it transforms people's hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel replaces unrest with peace. The gospel of Jesus Christ will take our hearts that maybe were filled with hate and will fill them with love. Thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ will take hearts that maybe are discontent and make them content in you. Thank you, Lord, that you change our destiny, Lord, and Lord, all these wonderful things that the gospel does in our lives. And Lord, we want to be lights for you. We want Crossroads to be a light. And Lord, we want to be a testimony in the community. We want to be a testimony in this world to the love of Jesus Christ and to the light of the gospel. So God, help us to stay strong through the times, Lord, right now that our nation's going through. Help us to stay strong. Help us to love you. Help us to love people. And help us to continue to proclaim the good news of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, guys, let's take our Bible and go to Romans 10. And this morning I want to continue to talk to you about prayer. And, you know, the last few weeks we studied prayer promises to the church, prayer promises that fit for us today. And, you know, as we think about prayer, what is prayer? Well, let me give you a very simple definition, okay? Prayer is simply talking to God. Can you say that with me? What is prayer? It's talking to God. How many of you talked to somebody this past week? Raise your hand. You're like, no, I've been in isolation, right? No, you've talked to someone. Did you know that's all prayer is? Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is, I believe, the greatest privilege that we possess as believers in Christ. I mean, you think about what we learned last week. We have total and complete access to God. Everyone, anyone who is saved, anybody who knows Jesus, I don't care what nation you're from. I don't care what side of town you live on. I don't care your economic status. It doesn't matter, your nationality. None of that matters. Listen, let me tell you something. If you know Jesus, we have boldness to be able to enter into the throne room of God, and we have the opportunity 24/7 to be able to talk to the living God. Amen. Isn't that exciting? And you know, I while that's a wonderful thing, I think that many people struggle with prayer, if they're honest. I think that most of us in here, if we were honest about our prayer lives, probably most of us aren't real happy. I think that, there may be a few that are like, yeah, man, my prayer life, scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10, and I'm good. But I think most of us would probably have to admit that our prayer lives aren't the greatest. And that maybe we don't pray that often. Why is that? I think it goes back to what we said. Prayer, you know, in our culture today, we want instant gratification. We want immediate results. And prayer is not that way. You know, prayer is something that has incredible long-term effects. Prayer is something that takes patience, you know, and God works through prayer, but it's not just this lightning bolt, boom, right away. And so because we live in a culture that wants immediate results, we don't pray, you know, because we don't see that. And then I think another reason why we struggle with prayer is because we lack a strategic plan. There's a lot of things in life that we mean to do, but we just don't have a plan, so they never happen. How many of you have projects at your house that you mean to do? I do. Oh, man. My wife has been after me to pressure wash the fence in the backyard. I want y'all to know I mean to do it. I just haven't got around to it. And here's the thing. You may have a oh boy, there's my wife. Hi, honey. She's shaking her head. Yes. I do mean to do it. All right. Do you know how hard it is to preach with your wife in the room? Amen. You can't get away with anything. But yeah, she keeps me accountable. But you know, honestly, it's like, okay, you're going to build something at your house. Going to build some bookshelves, going to build maybe a patio, going to build a shed out back. And the thing is, you can mean to do it, but without a plan, you're probably not going to do it. If you don't have a plan for, okay, this next weekend, I'm going to buy the tools I need, I'm going to get the supplies I need, and then this date, I'm going to start. Till you start getting some plans, you're probably not going to do it. Well, here's the deal. It's the same thing with prayer. If you're going to build a prayer life, and a prayer life does have to be built, okay? And as you build a prayer life, you're probably not going to do it without a plan. So, you know, if we don't have a specific time and place where we pray, and we don't have a plan on what we need to pray about, we're probably not going to do a whole lot of praying. Now, hopefully the message today is going to help you with the latter as far as what to pray about, you know, and how to pray. This message is going to really help you with the, okay, what do I pray for? What do I pray about? As far as a time and place, you got to figure that out. I can't do that for you. You know, you've got to carve out the time, figure out what that looks like, and you're going to have to figure out the place. Not that you can't pray anywhere, you can, but there needs to be a place. You know, the Bible says Abraham had a place where he went every day and he stood before God and he prayed, you know. And so, you know, same with Daniel and different ones in the Bible. They had a place they went, they prayed. So, you know, you got to figure that out. But as far as, okay, what do I pray about? Well, that's something that we definitely can help with because the Bible helps us with that. Sometimes I think when we pray, we kind of have a bit of a shotgun method. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like, you know, just there's really no rhyme or reason. Kind of whatever pops into our head, you know, that's what we pray about. And that's okay. That's fine. But that's not real strategic, you know what I mean, as far as prayer. And then I think sometimes we aren't even sure if we should be praying about certain things or how to pray about it. The Bible says we don't know always what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what's really needed. We don't know what's really necessary. So sometimes we look at a situation, we don't even have a clue. So we're kind of like, you know, kind of like at a loss for words. But now here's the deal, though. Here's where I want to go with this. While there are certain things that you're going to struggle with knowing, okay, should I pray for that? How should I pray for that? Okay, but there are things that we do know that we should be praying for. So I'm not going to let the things that I'm not sure how to pray about keep me from praying for the things that I know I ought to be praying about. So to give you an illustration of that, I may not know if I need to fork out money for a new cell phone. You know, this one still works. It's not the latest, greatest, but it's still okay. And I may not know if I need to fork out money for a new cell phone, but guess what? I know I need to fork out money for my mortgage this month, right? I know I need to spend money on my electric bill. You know, I don't want to sit around in the dark, amen? Last night I was afraid I might be with that storm. Whew, that was a bad storm, wasn't it? In fact, I'm almost asleep in bed, and my wife is storming. And my wife just also, I'm almost asleep, and all of a sudden I hear her beside me, and she goes, I hope we don't lose power. And all of a sudden my mind went, and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm already laying here burning up hot. If the power goes out, we're in trouble. So I'm thinking all that. So I get up out of the bed. She thinks I'm asleep. I get up out of the bed and I go walking out of the bedroom. She goes, where are you going? I just act like I didn't hear her because I didn't want her to know that I was going to pump the air conditioning down because I knew she wouldn't want me to do that. I'm warm-blooded. She's cold. But I thought if it's, you know, if it's 75 and the power goes out, it's going to go up to 80 real quick. But if it's 65 in the house and the power goes out, maybe we could live with that, amen? So anyway, that was my thinking. So, but how did I get off on all that? Oh, yeah, about things we don't know we need to fork out money for. So, yeah, so I may not know I need to spend money on a cell phone, but I know I got to spend money on my light bill, right? And in the same way, sometimes I think we allow prayer to be like that, where, well, I don't really know how to pray about this, so then we don't end up praying for things that we know we ought to pray about. And I want to look at some of the things that over this week and next week, I want to look at some things that we know are God's will that we should be praying about every day. The Apostle Paul, he was the apostle to the church, to us, and he wrote letters to churches like Crossroads. And so as we study Paul's writings, we get a lot of insight. Okay, what did Paul pray for? What did his prayer life look like? What did he instruct other people to pray for, Paul, in the church? And so as we begin to look at that, it really gives us insight into what ought to be on our prayer list every day. And again, you may not have a physical prayer list. You may just have a list. I think a list is helpful, by the way. And I think sometimes the list is up here in our head, and that's okay. And then sometimes people will journal. Sometimes people will just have a piece of paper, type paper, and they got their prayer list. Other people use 3x5 cards by subjects, and they got their prayers on those. However you do it, that's okay. But the point is that there are things that we know that we should be praying about in this time of grace today, every day. So there's things that ought to be on our prayer list. So I want to look at some of those. For the first one, I want to go to Romans 10. So if you're there, I want you to look at this. If you got it on your phone, you got your Bible up on your phone, or you've actually got a physical Bible there, that's great. But I want you to go to Romans 10:1, all right? Now, notice the insight that we gain here. He says, brothers, Paul said, my heart's desire. That's another way of saying my passion, right? This is my passion, my heart's desire and prayer to God. So his prayer matched his passion. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Paul was an Israelite. He was a Jew. That was his people. My prayer for my people, he said, is that they may be what? Saved. So the first thing I notice here is, wow, I need to be praying for those who need to accept Christ. That's the first thing that ought to be on my prayer list. He said, people that we rub shoulders with, people that we see on a regular basis. Paul said, my passion is I want to reach people for Christ. And that, by the way, Paul was a Jew. That's one of the reasons why we see him when he would go into a city to give them the gospel. When he would enter in a new city, if there was one, typically the first thing he'd do is he would go to the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue, because he was a Jew and he had been a Pharisee in Judaism. And so he would go there first. Why? That was his heart's passion. That was his heart's desire, is to see his people saved. And so Paul would go in there and give them the gospel. Typically, some of those Jewish people would be saved, and they would accept Christ. Now, many of them did not, and they would persecute Paul, and many times they gave him a really hard time. They thought he was a traitor because he had been in Judaism and was a Pharisee and had left that to embrace Christ. And so they would persecute him. But my point is this, is that Paul's heart's desire was to see his people saved, and that carried over into his prayer life. His prayer life reflected his passion to see people saved. Okay? That's what I want you to see. Paul's desire to see people saved was reflected in his prayer life. Paul said, my heart's desire. His heart's desire, his passion, and his prayer was perfectly in line with God's will. You say, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible tells us so. Let's look at a verse here, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4. Look at the verse on the screen here. The Bible says who? Who is God? God desires all men to be what? Saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, obviously what that means, God's heart's passion, God's desire, is he wants to see people saved. And obviously, in order to be saved, people have to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so look at Romans 10 and look at verse number 2. He says, for I testify about them, the people, right, Israel, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Can we bring that verse back up that was just on the screen, 1 Timothy 2:4? He said that his people had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Well, look what it says. God wants all men to be saved and come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. And the truth is Jesus, as we're going to see here. Look at verse 3. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. Well, what is the right? What is it they didn't submit to? What's the very first word in verse number 4? Christ. Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness for everyone who what? Believes. And so the problem was is that they had not come to the knowledge of the truth, therefore they were not saved yet. And Paul's passion and prayer was for them to be saved. Listen, when you pray for a person's salvation, you can know that you are praying in perfect accordance with God's will for today. Because that's what God's doing today. That's what God's all about today. In fact, when Christ sent Paul out the very first time to the nations with the gospel, let's bring it up on the screen and let's look at what Christ told Paul in Acts 26:18. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Paul, I'm sending you out to all people." Why? "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified," Jesus said, "by faith in me." That was the commission, right? That's what God's all about. That's what God's doing today. But, you know, while that's God's will, did you know Satan, did you know he's up to something today too? Did you know Satan has a will and a desire for people too? And it directly contradicts what you just read there. In fact, let's bring it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Paul said, if our gospel, remember we said that's what we're all about. Our church is all about the gospel. And no matter what happens in life, in our city, in our country, that's what we have to be about, is getting the gospel of Christ out. Because Paul said, if our gospel is hidden, it's hidden to those who are lost. And then he said, the god of this world, and that's a little g, it's not a typo, that's talking about Satan. He says, Satan has blinded the minds, notice, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's what Satan's up to today. Christ says, Paul, I'm sending you out to open up eyes, to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And then we read what Satan's up to, and Satan is about blinding the minds of those who believe not. And that's why, because you have this conflict going on, I do not believe that any person is saved who isn't prayed for by somebody. Because it is through prayer that Satan's bondage is broken. It's through prayer blinded eyes are opened to the truth of God. Remember when the disciples couldn't heal the boy that was possessed by Satan, tormented by Satan? They couldn't heal him. And they're like, why can't we heal him? Jesus healed him. Jesus said, this kind isn't going to happen except through prayer and fasting. How would the bondage of Satan be broken in that boy's life? Jesus said it would be through prayer, much prayer, he said. It's through much prayer. And so the way that people's eyes are, the way the blinders are lifted is God's power moves as people pray for them. Think about this. Who prayed for you before you got saved? Who prayed for you when you didn't know Christ? Was there someone in your life when you did not know Jesus that did know Jesus and they were praying for you to be saved? You may know, you may not know. But I know for sure of someone who was praying for me before I got saved. Do you? How many of you know of at least one person that was praying for you before you got saved? And you know what? Some of you may not know even, you may not even know. And that's why heaven's going to be so cool. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see the people who prayed for us that maybe we didn't even know that they were praying for us. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? This is interesting. I was sharing this with my wife this morning. I'm like, honey, listen to this. And so I was going over my message, and sometimes things just hit me, and I got to share them with somebody. And she was cooking my breakfast, so I said, share this with her. And so as she's cooking my breakfast this morning, I said, honey, listen to this. I said, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you. It's exactly the way he worded it. Now, we could sit here and theologically argue whether Peter at that point was truly saved or not. I don't know. All I know is the verse says that Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan wants to cut you up into a million pieces and destroy you, Peter. And then he talks later about, but when you're converted. So here's the deal. Here's what it says, though. This is what I'm getting to. Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. When I read that, I was like, wow, I've read that before, of course. But when I read that again, I'm like, wow. He didn't say, you know, Satan's desired to have you, Peter, but I've sovereignly elected you before the foundation of the world, so don't worry about it. He didn't say that. Nah, yeah, don't worry. Yep. He said, no. Satan desires to have you, but he's not going to get you because I have prayed for you. That's what the verse says. Obviously, Jesus correlated the fact that Satan could not have Peter with the fact that he was praying for Peter. That's pretty powerful. Who do you know that needs Christ? Who do you know that needs to come to faith? Maybe it's faith in God. Maybe they already have faith in God, but maybe they're kind of like Paul said. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know Christ. Maybe they need to know Christ. They need faith in Christ. They need faith in the Word of God. My encouragement today, here's my encouragement. Those people need to be on your prayer list every day. Okay? You need to be praying for them. So, I'm praying about this. I think that by the time we finish this and next week's message, I think that all of us are going to look at our prayer lives and then look at the things that God says that are His will that we need to be praying about. And I'm not sure that a lot of us are not going to look at that and go, wow, I need to get my prayer life in line with what God says is His will and what I need to be praying for. Does God want people to be saved? Yes or no? Yeah, I know that. I know it's His will for people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, when I pray for that, I can know that I'm praying right in the center of God's will. And think about this. You may be the only person who ever calls that person's name out to God. You literally may be the only person in that person's life. They're born, they live so many years, they die. Maybe it's a coworker, a neighbor, a friend. Literally, they may live, be born, and die, and you may be the only person ever in their life that knows Christ. You're the only one that knows Jesus. And you literally may be the only person to ever enter into the throne room of God and mention their name to God in prayer. Nobody else may ever pray for them except you. And you literally may be the only person to enter into the throne room of God and say, hey, God, I want to pray and I want to call this name out to you. It's so-and-so, my coworker, or it's so-and-so, my neighbor, it's so-and-so, a family member, you know, or so-and-so, a friend I had in high school. And God, you may be the only one to call their name out to God. You literally may be their lifeline, the only one in their life that knows Christ. And when you pray for lost souls, you know you're praying in God's will because that's God's heartbeat. That's what God's doing today. God is healing the soul and spirit of men and women. That's what is the passion of God today. He said, that's why I'm sending you out, Paul, is to open people's eyes to the gospel. And so as we pray for that, we know we're praying in God's will. And you know what? That person may not even get saved until after you're dead and gone. You know, I've seen that. I've seen people get saved at a loved one's funeral, and the person died and knew Jesus and prayed for them their whole life, and the person got saved at their funeral. Can you imagine someone that you've prayed for years getting saved at your funeral? You say, Pastor Dan, I don't know if I like that thought too much. You know, my funeral, huh? Hey, what a way to go, amen? What a way to go. I mean, having someone you've prayed for years get saved at your funeral, what a way to go. I think about a guy that was my neighbor across the street. His name was Mark, and I prayed for Mark a long time that he would come to know Jesus. And Mark ended up hitting some very difficult times, and Mark ended up at church. And I'm like, Mark, it's good to see you here. He's like, yeah, I'm really going through some stuff. I wanted to, you know, come to church. And I said, that's awesome, man. And so we talked off and on, and he kept coming to church. And then I had the privilege and the opportunity of being able, and I could take you to the spot back here, back in one of these back rooms. Mark bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior. He got saved. And man, it was so special. I was with him when he got saved. It was so cool. And then he got involved. He began serving. He ushered right up here in the balcony and got really involved serving the Lord here. And little did we know, though, that just a few months later, Mark, he was a paramedic, but they found him in his house. He didn't show up for work. He was in his house in a coma. And he didn't know it, but he had pancreatitis. His blood sugar went up over 1,000. They had to rush him to the hospital. They got him in the hospital. Then he got infections. Mark ended up dying at like 40 years old. His two sons grew up playing with my two sons their whole life, and they were very close. But they lost their dad. He was 40 years old. He had two little boys, but he knew Jesus. And I was so thankful that I had prayed for him those many, many years and had the opportunity to see Mark trust Christ. And I just wonder if there's someone in your life right now that you know that doesn't know Christ, and they need to know Christ. And it can make a huge difference in their life. You know, I know we got issues and stuff we're praying about, but really, don't you think lost souls ought to be on our daily prayer list? People that we know that don't know Christ, that ought to be something we're praying about every day. Paul said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is that my people might be saved. And so today, I'm just going to stop there. Next week, I'm going to give you three more things that ought to be on our daily prayer list.